We're still on our series on moving forward. And we said in order to move forward, we have to do what? Number one is to forget the past. Your past sins, slips, failures, and forgive and forget past offenses. Repent if you're presently living in disobedience to God or living in sin. Hallelujah. Number two is to possess your possessions. Glory be to Jesus. Be in the Word. To possess your possessions, you need to be in the Word and in faith. Be committed to the studying of the Word of God as a tree is committed to the ground. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it says, "Now, brethren, I commit you to God and to the work of the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." So it is the word that will bring us into our possessions. Amen. We said we should meditate on the word of God. We should seize the word. Hallelujah. The Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist, until when the Lord was talking about this, he said, "The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Amen. We should take the kingdom by force. Amen. We're not supposed to wait for it to just fall on our laps. No, we're supposed to take the word of God and walk the word. Amen. Number three is that we should be in fellowship with other believers. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when we have, it says in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." And the other thing that happens in the gathering of the saints is that we're strengthened one by another. The Bible says that iron sharpened iron. Amen. And also it is commanded of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's where we're nourished up. We're admonished. We're encouraged in the things of God. And the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're able to withstand the enemy because of our collective faith and prayers. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Number four, we said that we need to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. We should maintain a sanctified life. Glory be to Jesus. And be filled with the Spirit of God. Maintain a sanctified life. Take out ungodliness, worldliness from our lives. We should abandon unequal yoke fellowships. Amen. Our association with the world should be in the light of the word of God. Amen. Now, number five is where we are today. There are seven things we're going to be dealing with, and we're at number five. Number five is be a soul winner. Praise God. You're coming out of trouble. You want to move. You want to make progress. You have to align yourself with the will of God. Amen. God's number one job is soul winning. If you're not winning souls, you're not totally in the will of God. Hallelujah. As a Christian, every one of us is required to be a soul winner. We're supposed to witness, bear witness of Christ. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, I'll read it from verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 22 is what I want to look at before I continue to read. Amen. Or underline verse 22. We're going to come back there. Praise God. Amen. So let's keep reading. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is the Greek god of money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Your life is more important than the clothes you put on. Praise God. Now that's not to say that you shouldn't put on any clothes at all. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, take no thought, do what? Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, for all of these things do the Gentiles, the godless, hallelujah, the ungodly seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I read all this for good reason. But let's back up to verse 22. I told us to underline that, right? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What does this mean? It means be focused on the right things. Be focused on the right things. Be focused on the things of God, on God's ways of reasoning. The opinion of God is the perspective from which you ought to see things always. You know, when we say, when there is a situation, you ask yourself, what does the word of God say about this? That's the first question that should come to your mind. That's how to have your eye to be single. But if your way of judging things, discerning things, is contrary to the word of God, the Bible says that if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. It's like people who, when mothers up north were protesting against, you know, the kind of teachings that their children were getting in the schools, all right, some law enforcement decided to call them terrorists. That is what it means when you say, if thine eye be evil, that means that your basis of interpretation is perverted. Your whole body will be full of darkness. But if you're given rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible calls your eyes single and your whole body will be full of light. Amen? I just wanted to give that explanation right there. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, for God to want us, when we want to move on forward God's way, the things about God, the things of God, is that God does not take us up to bring us down. The Bible says that my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I you. Hallelujah. God doesn't give you and take it back. Man might do that, but God doesn't do that. So if we want to move forward, God lives. So the Bible says we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he will do what? He will lift us up. What is that? When we obey, when we subject ourselves to the word of God, subordinate ourselves to the word of God, subjugate our own interests, and let the interests of God stay above. You know, Jesus said, if any man come to me, let him deny himself. And we said that denial there means that we subordinate our interests. We set aside our interests. We set aside our goals. We set aside things that were dear to us and take on things that are dear to the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't raise your children. I didn't say that. Hallelujah. But you see that as you're doing what God said to do in every area, those things will be taken care of. Amen. things we're worried about, God will take care of them as we are obedient to his word, as we do the word. Amen. We will release the power of God to on our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16, now we establish the fact when we go to that if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, his right ways, his ways of doing things, all these things that the Gentiles seek after, the money, the houses, the clothing, everything, the Bible said that they shall be added unto us. So it's necessary to find out, how do I seek the kingdom of God? How do I desire the kingdom? You know, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? It's a lot of things. It means to desire the things of God. It means to work for the expansion of God's kingdom. To be doers of God's word. Hallelujah. Keenly doing it diligently. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. He says, he that does the will of him that sent him, there's no occasion of stumbling in him. So when you're doing the will of God, you cannot stumble and you cannot cause other people to stumble. So we're seeking the advancement. And the first thing about seeking this advancement is witnessing for Jesus. That is the main assignment given to the body of Christ. The rest are just godly living. This is our assignment. Two things there, praise the Lord and win souls. Glory be to God. These are two things that we do for God, that we really do for God. When you win a soul, you add a child to God. You populate God's kingdom when you win a soul. So when you're winning souls, you're advancing God's kingdom. You're seeking the advancement of God's kingdom. Glory be to God. And all these things that the Bible talks about will be added unto you. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave this instruction. And he said unto them, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So our eyes must always be on the ball. We're not dropping the ball. We're not going to stop winning souls in our generation. You know, something happened that was unique. Peculiar to the early church. When they received the Holy Ghost, they started enjoying the things of God. They touched each other. They fell under the power. There was laughing in the spirit. There were so many things going on. People were so excited. They brought their things. They sold their land. They brought it to church. People shared the money. Everything was going cool. But they were not doing the Great Commission. Though they were winning locally, that was not what Jesus asked to do. And so there was trouble. Whenever you're not doing the will of God, the Bible said, David said, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went outside of the will of God. Hallelujah. When you're outside of the will of God, the likelihood that you'll be afflicted is high. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate. God wants us to be single-eyed, hallelujah, focused on the things of God. God wants us to see the big picture. He wants more children, hallelujah. The reason why he sent Jesus to die for us was that he might bring many sons unto glory, hallelujah. He will see the passion of his soul and he will be satisfied, glory be to God. Why? That what he did produced fruit, amen. And we are the arms and the legs and the mouth of Jesus today. So we're going out talking to other people about the fact that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven you. Not because you did anything, but because you believed. Because no man can do that by himself. We can't be perfect by ourselves. But when we come to Jesus, his perfection is credited to our account. His righteousness is credited to our account. Then God can begin to deal with us. And because of him, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be soul winners. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the church, he gave charge again. This is something he kept doing again and again and again and again. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's read it from the beginning. And the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments. Were they suggestions? No, commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Amen. Dunamis. Amen. Miracle working ability. Amen. Achieving power. Praise the Lord. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Did he say Jerusalem alone? No. He said Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, they're supposed to take the gospel, not stay in one place and be touching each other and be falling under the power. That's not the idea. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost, singing in the Spirit, good. All those things are good. That's not, I'm saying that beyond all of that, we're supposed to take this word and take it to Facebook, Instagram, everywhere we're going, we're taking it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're in our sphere of contact, our sphere of influence, marketplace. You take it to your job, because there are some people who will never get saved except you speak to them. And God brought them your way for a particular reason, so that they might be saved. They might hear the gospel. Amen. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. That's selfishness. That is why the man with the one talent was thrown out of the kingdom. That took his talent and buried it. No, you're not supposed to bury it. You're not supposed to just keep it to yourself and say, look, I'm saved. I'm saved. My dog is saved. My car in my house. You know, we're doing well. I don't trouble nobody. I want them to see Christ in me and get saved like that. Your lifestyle does not save anybody. Your lifestyle might draw people, but it doesn't save anybody. People might even give glory to God because of your lifestyle. But it doesn't save anybody. You know what saves people? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the Apostle Paul speaking, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel. It doesn't even say the gospel contains the power. He says the gospel is the power. So your lifestyle is not the power of God unto salvation to other people. I'm not saying we're supposed to live the lifestyle, because the lifestyle of Christ. Lest anybody thinks anything. You know, so, yeah, because the Bible says we should adorn the gospel. It will adorn the gospel. He said, let them that are ours maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may adorn the gospel. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. So the salvation, the power of God unto salvation is the word of God, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the people don't believe your lifestyle. That's not what they're believing in. They're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to speak to them. We're not just supposed to, you know, just love on them, buy them all the cookies in the world and all the soup kitchens, and the world ain't going to save nobody if you don't preach the gospel. It will not save anybody. You know, you can go to a car lot and the salesmen come out, they tell you all the beauty about the car. They shine it for you. They do all of that. If they don't make a pitch for sale, nothing gets done. Do you know that? So all that drama, if they give you coffee to drink and all of that, and they don't make any sale, they'll soon lose their job. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Our sail is the gospel. We need to share the gospel with the world. Our lifestyle, we create an opportunity for people to draw close to us. Why are you acting the way you act? But we must share the gospel with them. We must. God called us to preach this gospel. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by his faith. So we must share the gospel with everyone that comes across us. Soul winning is a believer's main assignment upon the earth. If not, when we get saved, God doesn't lose anything. Just take us to heaven. The reason why we're still here is that we need to win others to Christ. If a believer misses this assignment, he or she has missed the main thing. The kingdom of God is priority to every real, mature child of God. The kingdom of God is priority to each and every one of us. We grow by the gospel.